Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 19th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Carla Rothlin and Sourav Ghosh about a potential target for the treatment of glioblastoma. Glioblastomas are brain tumors that have a particularly poor prognosis. Many glioblastomas are characterized by increased activity of the epidermal growth factor receptor, EGFR. Although drugs that inhibit EGFR signaling are available, glioblastomas often develop resistance to these drugs, suggesting that additional oncogenic signaling pathways drive these tumors. My guests, Sourav Ghosh and Carla Rothlin, have led a study in which they identified the kinase APKC as a potential target for treating glioblastoma. They investigated how APKC is activated and show that inhibiting it can reduce the growth of glioblastomas in mice. Ghosh and Rothlin are researchers at the Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut.
Hello, Dr. Rothlin, Dr. Ghosh.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be there.
Hi, the same here.
The first thing I want to talk about is glioblastoma in general and why it's such a particularly awful type of cancer. Glioblastoma doesn't respond to conventional therapies, and it has a very low survival rate. Why is glioblastoma so deadly?
That's an excellent question, and neurosurgeons, neurologists, oncologists, they grapple with this. Glioblastoma is a disease where the glial cells, the non-neuronal support cells that are very important and present throughout the brain, they proliferate abnormally and quite rapidly. Not only that, these cells, they invade through the normal brain parenchyma, thus disrupting brain function. And so this proliferative rate, taken together with this incredible invasiveness, in some cases, these glial cells can cross the central commissure. They can cross into the different hemispheres of the brain. And that's what makes it rather difficult to remove surgically. And also, another point that I'd like to make is the heterogeneity of the cells. So glioblastoma, classically it was called glioblastoma multiforme. And this multiforme term alluded to the presence of many different heterogeneous cells. Not only did the cells morphologically look different, but even from a signaling, a molecular signaling perspective, other labs have done extensive research on this and shown that there are multiple signaling pathways that are activated in glioblastoma tumors. Now, it's not clear whether those are activated in the same cell or in different cells that comprise the population of these cancer cells, but that makes it a very complex disease.
A lot of glioblastomas have increased EGFR signaling, and EGFR inhibitors can be effective in treating some other types of cancers like breast cancer, but they haven't been as effective in treating glioblastomas. Why is that?
This goes back to a point that I was trying to make while answering the previous question. It is believed, at least in part, that there's a number of different receptor tyrosine kinases that are activated in glioblastoma. So you are absolutely correct. EGFR gain of function has been reported in, say, approximately 45% of glioblastoma cases. Because there are multiple receptor tyrosine kinases that can be activated, not just EGFR, although that's predominant, and also because there can be compensatory activation. So once you inhibit EGFR signaling, there is compensatory upregulation activation of other alternative receptor tyrosine kinase-driven pathways. And therefore, the net effect is it's very hard to reduce tumor growth with EGFR kinase inhibitors. So with the identification that EGFR mutations are, gain-of-function mutations are rather common in this disease, there was much anticipation that EGFR kinase inhibitors would be effective. But unfortunately, that expectation has not been fulfilled in the clinic. A lot of patients with active EGFR mutations don't show any improvement or any efficacy when they're treated with EGFR kinase inhibitors. And that's actually an ongoing area of research, but at least the answer could in part be this heterogeneity of the tumor, the heterogeneity of signaling, and upregulation of other receptor tyrosine kinases, as well as compensatory upregulations of receptor tyrosine kinases when treated with EGFR kinase inhibitors.
And so given all those factors, it's important to identify additional oncogenic signaling pathways that could be contributing to tumor growth in glioblastoma. And in this study, you focused on the function of atypical protein kinase C, or APKC, in glioblastoma. Why did you look at APKC?
So atypical protein kinase C is a kinase that is part of the polarity complex. This is a protein complex that regulates apical versus basal domains in epithelial cells, for example, in migrating cells, the front from the back. So this is a kinase that is important in establishing asymmetry within a cell. And this group of proteins, these polarity proteins, they're extremely important from a developmental perspective. So during embryonic development, these kinases and its scaffold proteins, they have crucial function. When I was a postdoctoral student in Tony Hunter's lab, I began to study this developmental pathway in part because I believe, and so does a lot of other people in the field, that often developmental signaling pathways are aberrantly activated or aberrantly recapitulated or even miswired in adult context, and that can lead to features such as proliferation and invasion and migration. So because we need to find alternative oncogenes rather than just simply sticking with EGFR kinase inhibitors, and I was studying this pathway in neuroepithelial development, and what I observed was altered localization and activity of APKC in experimental animal models could lead to increased proliferation, increased invasion of neuroepithelia during embryonic development. So that was at the back of my mind when I started my lab. Would similar signaling pathways be relevant in the context of astrocytomas, such as glioblastoma, and could that be a good target? So that was sort of the backdrop of why we decided to focus in on APKC. So one of the first things we did was, you know, in collaboration with a lot of neuropathologists, we looked whether APKC is indeed upregulated, levels of APKC protein, does it change and does it correlate with glioblastoma? And we were very excited to find that that was indeed the case. Furthermore, we found that increased APKC levels actually had poor prognosis for glioblastoma. So that gave us a lot of confidence, and then we pursued our studies of inhibiting APKC activity in experimental mouse models of glioblastoma. And the results were incredibly exciting and indicated that inhibiting APKC would reduce tumor volume, indicating this might be a targetable kinase in this disease.
How is APKC activated in gliomas?
So as Sourav was mentioning, EGFR is a key pathway that leads to the activation of APKC. And so that, of course, highlights the possibility that targeting APKC would be as good as targeting EGFR. But what we found in this study, which makes it, we think, very exciting, is that there are other pathways that also lead to the activation of APKC. And something to think about in the context of tumors is that they're not only oncogenic signaling pathways that are engaged within the tumor cells, they're also signaling pathways that can be triggered by molecules produced in the tumor microenvironment. So what we found is that TNF, that is highly produced in this tumor microenvironment and can also drive the tumor growth, also activates APKC. So in this analysis, we found that both EGFR signaling and TNF signaling lead to APKC activation.
So APKC can be activated both by EGFR signaling and by TNF-alpha. The EGF receptor is active in the glioma cells themselves, but the TNF-alpha is coming from outside the tumor, not from the tumor cells themselves?
That is correct. So what we found is that there are immune cells known as myeloid cells that produce large amounts of TNF-alpha in the tumor microenvironment. And these also lead to the activation of APKC and promotes tumor growth. By targeting APKC, we can target not only EGFR signaling, but also these tumor microenvironment oncogenic pathways like the one driven by TNF.
Right. Essentially, those two pathways converge on APKC, making it a good target for potentially treating glioblastomas.
Correct.
And Siraf, you said that you have treated mice with APKC inhibitors to see the effect on glioblastoma?
That is correct. And what was really intriguing is that we not only observed good response, we actually compared the response of inhibiting APKC versus inhibiting AGFR. We got a better response. But what was really remarkable was even in tumors, which are known to be resistant to EGFR kinase inhibitors, we were able to reduce tumor growth using APKC inhibition. Now, I want to put a cautionary note here. The molecule that we use to inhibit atypical protein kinase C is a kinase inhibitor, but it's not therapeutic. It's not ready for even advanced preclinical studies. So we believe it's not going to be very effective by giving systemically. So what we did was actually deliver the drug at the site of tumor. So this is actually used even clinically, convection-enhanced delivery of therapeutic molecules. But one natural progression would be trying to treat the animal systemically with an improved APKC inhibitor and seeing whether they respond like what we observed in our initial studies.
Would the idea for future human studies be to try inhibiting APKC by itself or to combine that with EGFR inhibitor treatment?
Well, I think the beauty of our study is that it highlights that you could potentially think about inhibiting EGFR and at the same time inhibiting TNF. And the beauty of this is that, of course, as you know, there are approved therapeutics to neutralize TNF function. You can also think that then maybe a small molecule against APKC might be as effective or even more than combinatorial therapies against EGFR and TNF. So I think we're in early phases, but I think this is very exciting, and hopefully this will provide the fundamental understanding to start exploring those potential therapeutic options.
And if I may add, like Carla pointed out, it is actually rather difficult at this point using combinatorial therapies. I think we need to demonstrate single molecule efficacy in diseases before we think combinations. But in terms of inhibiting EGFR and inhibiting TNF function, these are already FDA-approved drugs. So that might speed up at least preclinical models of glioblastoma doing trials in those. And we do not rule out combining some downstream inhibitors with upstream inhibitors. We can perhaps get improved efficacy if we inhibit EGFR kinase along with APKC as well. So those are really interesting avenues that we want to pursue in the near future and do single molecule inhibition, which will target multiple pathways simultaneously, as well as combinatorial targeting.
Dr. Ghosh, Dr. Roslin, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a real pleasure.
That was Carla Roslin and Saurav Ghosh discussing a paper published in the August 12th issue of Science Signaling by Kuzny and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.